my day, so that I can always make my stand. With your helping hand, it's your hands that guide me, right there beside me. Oh Lord, what would I do without you? Though you test and try me, on my knees I'll find thee. For you, the King of Kings, has redeemed me. Flesh and pride of life, starting to sap my strength away. Tempted and tried, and sometimes led astray, like a lost sheep who goes his own way. It's your hands that guide me, right there beside me. Oh Lord, what would I do without you? Though you test and try me, on my knees I'll find thee. For you, the King of Kings, has redeemed me. Help me to fix my eyes on the rugged cross, counting all other things as loss. Dying to living for Christ, it is really no great sacrifice. 'Cause it's your hands that guide me, right there beside me. Oh Lord, what would I do without you? Though you test and try me, on my knees I'll find thee. For you, the King of Kings, has redeemed me. Your help, we need your helping hand.
Turn, if you will, to Psalm 147 as we finish out this wonderful book of songs. We have four tonight as we look at the Hallelujah Chorus. As we look at these last four psalms, we see a lot of praise to God. That's what all the psalms are, praising God for who He is and what He does. And so as we look at these four psalms tonight, we're going to see comely praise, creation's praise, a chorus of praise, and complete praise as we look at these four psalms. So let's pray. Father, we come to praise You tonight for who You are and all that You do for us. Lord, You're worthy of praise, and all of these songs lift You up and give You the glory that's due to You, and our songs as well, and our lives as we live. We want to live them to praise You. Father, give us insight into Your Scripture tonight, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at this comely praise. In Psalm 147, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely." Brother Ray told me a couple of weeks ago when he brought in the friend that he met over at Burger King, he brought him into the service that morning, took him home afterwards, and he said to him, "Y'all sing a lot, you know?" And he said, "We have something to sing about, and it's good to sing praises to the Lord." And as we think about comely praise, the word comely means fit or proper. It's a proper thing to praise the Lord because He's worthy of our praise. It's a pleasant thing, it says also in verse 1. The word means delightful. God is delighted when we praise Him. He's worthy of our praise. And as we go through this particular Psalm 147, we're going to see, why does God deserve our praise? And first of all, because He rejuvenates those that are downtrodden. In verse 2 it says, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel." The word outcast means to push down. Those that are kind of overlooked, those that are forgotten, those that are rejected. God loves all. As we saw this morning, it's not just that God loves the rich or the young or those in positions of leadership. He loves the little children. He loves the outcast. He loves those with special needs. He loves those from every nation. He loves those of every color. He loves those with every language. God loves all, but He looks after the downtrodden. There are those that are outcast. Then in verses 3 through 5, He heals the broken in heart. He binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And as we look at these three verses, we see also that He restores the disheartened, those that are broken in heart. Jesus knows what it's like to be brokenhearted, doesn't He? There, because he looked out among the people and He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and His heart was broken. God knows what it's like to be brokenhearted, to see His Son suffer and die. But in verse 5, notice the word understanding. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And I think that it's important for us to tie that word understanding back to verse 3 with the broken in heart. God understands whenever you are brokenhearted. And not only does God rejuvenate the downtrodden, the outcast, but He also restores those that are disheartened there. He's been there. He knows what it's like to be brokenhearted, and He is there for us. Also, He raises the lowly, those that are meek, verse 6. He lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Oftentimes, whenever we look at the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs in particular, and you look at a verse, has two parts to it. Sometimes the second part of the verse is in contrast to the first part, and sometimes the second part of the verse in poetry of the Psalms and Proverbs it is a completion of the first part. And notice the contrast in verse 6. The contrast of the meek with the wicked. He lifts up the meek and He casts the wicked down to the ground. Because whenever we come to Christ, we must come as meek people. We must come humbly. We must come confessing that we're sinners and that we're in need of a Savior, and that there is nothing I can do to inherit eternal life there. And He raises the lowly there. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. We saw that this morning in Matthew chapter 19. And also He rewards the grateful. Verse 7, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God." Verse 8, who covers the heaven with cloud, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow upon the mountains. He gives to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. And with thanksgiving, we sing with thanksgiving. We live in a society where we don't see a lot of thanksgiving anymore. Well, maybe at November, you know, people kind of emphasize it a lot. But the Bible says in the latter days, people are going to be ungrateful. And we see a lot of that because there's a mindset of, why should I be grateful? I deserve this. I have a right to this. I'm entitled to this. You know, and you don't have gratitude if you feel like you're owed something. And we have to realize that we're not owed anything. It's the grace of God that we have what we have. And so we have gratitude even in our songs. And we see in 7, 8, and 9 that God provides for all His creation. And out of all God's creation, whether the sun and moon and stars or the animals, only man is the only part of His creation that can express gratitude. And it's sad that many do not. But God rewards those that are grateful. Then in verses 10 and 11, He delights not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear Him, and those that hope in His mercy. So God is not interested in how fast a horse can run or how fast a man can run. He delights, He relishes in the reverent. That's what the word fear of the Lord is, to have reverence for the Lord. And notice also in the verse 11, tied to the fear of the Lord is hoping in His mercy, to wait with hope. When we see that word hope in the Bible, it has the idea of waiting and waiting. And while we're waiting, we have this expectation, we have this hope. And those of us who have the fear of the Lord, we're waiting on the Lord. You know, sometimes we're not careful, we can get ahead of the Lord, can't we? We want something done so quickly, and we pray and we pray and we ask God to do it. And if God's not moving as fast as we want Him to, we'll just go ahead and do something, you know, and not get patient like we should be there. Fearing the Lord is waiting on the Lord, being reverent to Him and hoping in His mercy, because He will come through. He will always come through. We do have hope in His mercy. And then in verses 12 through 14, another reason that God is deserving of our praise is because He revives Jerusalem. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For He has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He makes peace in thy borders, and He fills thee with the finest of wheat. And in the Bible, we see that Jerusalem, or Zion, as it's called here as well, is a picture of heaven. And it's even called the heavenly Jerusalem that's going to come down there. And God has, in verse 13, He has blessed children there. And in verse 14, there's peace. The Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But that's not going to happen until the Prince of Peace comes. And so when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we're praying for Jesus to come back and have that regeneration that we saw in Matthew 19 this morning, where He will have His 12 disciples sitting on the 12 thrones there, and there will be peace whenever He comes and revives Jerusalem there. And then the last part of this psalm here, we see that He reports the Scriptures. He gives the Scriptures to us. Notice the words for the Bible here. You'll see the word judgment, the word word, and statutes and others like we saw when we were in Psalm 119, verse 15. He sendeth forth His commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? And so God's commandment and God's word, He says the word. He reports the weather. But He does more than just report it, doesn't He? He creates the weather. He sends it forth. It's through His word that He sends these things. Then in verse 18, He sends out His word and He melts them So the sun comes along as well. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. And so God's word is like the sun. God's word will melt a cold heart and turn someone to the Lord as well. And then verse 19 and 20. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. As for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. No other nation has he dealt with like he has the nation of Israel. He gave Israel the word of God there. Israel, God's chosen people, and certainly they give him praise because he's given to them the word of God. And it has come to us as well, and we give God praise for the scriptures. Now we go to Psalm 148, and we see creation's praise of God. Verses 1 through 6. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. And so when we think about the heavens that God has made, we see heavenly beings. He says, the angels praise the Lord. All of his hosts are praising God for all eternity there. But then he goes on to mention the sun and the moon and the stars, and not only the heavenly beings, but the heavenly bodies are there. Whenever we look out at the moon and the sun and the stars and all the beauty of God's creation, how in the world can someone look at all of that and say it came about from an explosion? Have you ever seen an explosion make things better? You know, usually explosions destroy things, don't they? But it says in verse 6, he has established them. Verse 5, he says they were created. There was a master design and a master designer that made creation. And so all of creation and all of its beauty, when you look out into the heavens, it brings praise to God. But then he changes his focus from heaven in the first six verses, and he also looks at earth, the rest of the psalm. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow, vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. And so he begins looking at nature. And he says, all of nature, society likes to refer to it as Mother Nature. I don't know where that originated there, but because they don't like to give credit to God for anything, it just kind of happened, you know, it's nature there. But he goes on, and it's more than God's natural resources, the creation that he's given. In verses 10, he talks about the dragons there in the sea. And he talks about all of the other animals there, the fire and the hail and the snow, the beast in verse 10, the cattle, the creeping things, the flying fowl. God talks about all the, we'll call them non-humans, so it'll fit my outline of the ends here, their nature and non-humans, all these creatures that God has created. And if you ever listen to, got his name now, but he does the little science thing, the little minute or 2 minute things on the radio when he talks about the God's creation, and he talks about, who's that?
Ken Ham.
Yeah, he does that, and you hear God's creation and all of those things that God has created, how they give glory to God. But then he moves from his nature to all of the animals, non-humans, to people. Verses 11 through 14, and we will call them his near ones, because at the end of this psalm, that's what it says. They are near unto him in verse 14. Begin reading with me in verse 11. Kings of the earth, all people, princes, all judges of the earth, both young men, like this morning, and maidens, old men, and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalts the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. You know, and as we think about God's creation, and we think about the sun and the moon and the stars and the wind and the fire and all those things and all these different animals and creatures, none of those things, God says, are near to him. But people, he says, the people, they're near to him. For God so loved the world, not the nature and not the animals, but God so loved the world of people that he gave his only begotten son. So creation praises God. He's worthy of our praise. Now we come to Psalm number 149. And we see a chorus of praise here. A new song. I sometimes choose new songs to sing. There's going to be a new song, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And his praise in the congregation of saints. And so we have singing saints, a congregation of saints, singing praises to God. He is worthy of our praise. Verse 2, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord, here's that word again, taketh pleasure. He delights in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud upon their beds. And so here we see not only the singing saints, but we see the joyful Jews. It says, let Israel rejoice. And the Lord gives us rejoicing. He gives us a song. From the moment we get saved, there's a new song in our hearts that God gives to him. When he saves us, verse 4, he will beautify the meek with salvation. And as a moment ago in the earlier psalm, we saw that that was contrasted to the wicked in 147:6. Because when we humble ourselves to receive Christ, there's meekness involved in being saved. And he gives the meek salvation when they acknowledge their need of a Savior and turn to Christ. Let the Israel rejoice. But now we come to verses 6 through 9, the end of this psalm. He says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And not just the praises of God in the mouth, a two-edged sword in their hand. So we'll call these the worshiping warriors. Here they are ready to worship the Lord with their praise. Verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. What honor do we have? We have an honor to be a warrior for the Lord, a warrior that stands in judgment. We have the honor of saying that sin, not because I say it's sin, but because God says it's sin. We have the honor of telling people if they say, well, who says that's wrong? Who are you to judge me? You say, I'm not. I'm just reporting what God says. We have that honor. We have that responsibility to execute upon them the judgment written. It's our responsibility as Christians to call sin, sin. We need to be honest and truthful. We need to be loving and speak the truth in love. But we need to be warriors for the Lord that are worshiping the Lord because he has already won the battle. Then we come to the final psalm, of our study tonight and the final psalm of this wonderful book of 150 psalms. And remember, I told you when we started it almost 2 years ago that we don't refer to these as chapters because each one is an individual psalm, an individual song. So this is Psalm 150, not chapter 150. And we come to this psalm, and let me read it. You follow us. I read the 150th psalm. Praise you, the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Where do we praise the Lord? Well, the place of praise is His sanctuary. And we are in what we sometimes refer to as a sanctuary, but we realize that this is not the sanctuary like the temple in the Old Testament. That was representing the presence of God. And we praise Him because He's always present. Verse 2, the purpose of praise. We praise Him for His mighty acts, the things that He does. We praise Him for His excellent greatness, for His majesty, who He is. So we praise Him for what He does. We praise Him for who He is. And what is God's procedure for praising Him? Well, I read the instruments to you. His procedure is all instruments. Do you know there are some denominations that don't have musical instruments in their church? They don't have piano. They don't have organ. Everything's a cappella, and I like a cappella. But I don't think I would want a cappella all the time. Matter of fact, the Scripture tells us here, praising with the stringed instruments and the trumpet and all of these things, let all of these things praise the Lord. And I am so thankful for those who have the ability to play these instruments and praise God with them. It is such a blessing and edifying to us. And then the last thing, this complete praise, verse 6, let everything that hath breath. Do you have breath? We have breath. The Lord gives breath. God gave Adam breath. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And those of us that are alive, it says, praise ye the Lord. That is a personal pronoun, plural, but it is a personal pronoun. And so we are to praise the Lord. He is worthy. Praise is comely to the Lord.